and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, I want listeners to listen to me very, very carefully. Now, I was interviewing Tickton a lot because everything he's saying is so important and it gets me hyped up. I'm like a hunting dog that sees a bunch of birds flying or something. I want to point at him. I've studied history. I'm really into it. I don't just do it because it's my job. I've always loved it since I was a little kid. My mom just got a history degree and read me all this history when I was a little kid. And we'd watch PBS and go to museums and stuff. And I just got into it. And those that don't know history, I didn't repeat it. Where we are as the Western culture and all of our freedoms, what we've had, we've not been perfect, but compared to the rest of the world, is so close to destruction. I mean, we are on the edge here. And Trump has been so good in so many ways. That's why I got really mad at him when he went off the rails in ways. Not even about what he did with the war, but his response to his constituents that had a problem. They said, oh, I hear your issue. That's okay, but I'm doing this. You know, instead, he reflexively, went after us harder than Democrats. But I forgive him for that. At the end of the day, things are so serious. I just want to get the public awake to how dangerous the situation is and about the powerful forces that want to swoop in here and the controls they want to finally break our back. We were at the end of the road. And, the country already has a debt with a debt service that is as big as the GDP every year. Trump's recovery plan, I talked to all these economists, perfect, beautiful, needed to succeed. Now Strait of Hormuz puts that into jeopardy. But moving on from that, the elections are even bigger than the economy at the end of the day, because if you don't have those, you have nothing. And we don't need to resell the fact that it's total fraud. The Democrats have been caught seven ways to Sunday. They know that. So Peter Tickton, I'm going to shut up now, give you the floor for the rest of the hour to go wherever you want. I'm just going to sit here. But just to go back to a point here, I know that they said that Todd Blanche was the interim AG, and I'd heard a lot of names floating around out there, and I heard your name too, but I forgot to bring that up. You were saying you'd like to be the attorney general. Have you heard that's being bandied about or being discussed?
I heard that it is. I heard that what they don't, that the one thing against me is that because I'm 80 years old, I'm they don't think I have the energy, but I work long, hard hours now, 7 days a week as a trial lawyer. I'm on my feet throughout the trials and on top of my game. I've got the mental and physical agility and stamina to be able to put in the long hours and the long days. Look, I can tell that Todd Blanche isn't doing the job that needs to be done. And the way I can tell is because he's not living on a military base. If he's really doing what needs to be done, his life is going to be in jeopardy. And I don't think he's going that far.
I agree. He's not on a military base like Stephen Miller. I totally agree. Exactly. He's not under attack by the establishment because, but back to you, incredible energy, huge law record. People either know, 80's the new 30 if the guy's got the stamina.
Hey, I'm winning my cases. I'm really doing well.
Sure, you've hit your stride, but Trump is 80, so I think that argument against you being 80 is not going to work. Plus, you're a confidant of his. This is great because what Trump needs is somebody that's fearless and ready to take action. So, if you were the Attorney General, what would you do? And then let's get back into the main
thing. The very first thing I would do, that this isn't the big weaponization stuff or whatever, but it sets the groundwork. Let me tell you, the way I'm seeing it, doing the weaponization thing, I'm doing pardons. So I'm hearing from people all around the United States as to what's really going on in the DOJ. And let me just put it this way. I looked it up, like in 1998, 32% of all our crimes were drugs. A big part of that, the biggest part of it, most of it was marijuana. And it didn't matter. It was growing it, transporting it, trafficking in it, possessing it, whatever, it was drugs, and it was mainly marijuana. They decriminalized marijuana. Now, I'm not against the decriminalization of it, don't get me wrong, that's not my point. My point is that when they did that, we end up now at about 25% less crime than we had. And yet we have the same number of police officers, we have the same number of prosecutors. we never reduced the sizes of our forces, but we still, but we don't have the same number of crimes because 25% of it's gone. So what do we have? We've got bank robberies. Okay, there's no more bank robberies, and there's not enough bank robberies to go around. So what do we really have? What in terms of the federal crimes that we've got? We've got too many police. And yes, there are some really bad characters. There are bad people that are being arrested and prosecuted. Yes, hallelujah, that's being done. But there's a lot of people that are innocent being picked up and people that are guilty of minor transgressions that are charged with major crimes so that some prosecutor or some police, whether the FBI or other agencies, can basically show a rationalization for their existence. You know, if you were to, right now at the stop sign at the end of your street, you probably come to a rolling stop every day and then go on. You have 25% more traffic cops in your neighborhood. Guess what? You're going to get tickets for that. And so, you know, the amount of enforcement is being overdone. So the first thing I would do is, and I've got ways of doing it and doing it really fast, we were able to figure out how to get these cases identified and get them dismissed, get them out of the way. That would give me the manpower that I need to go after the real crimes. You know, like, for instance, we charge Comey for these seashells that are on the shore, you know, that spell out, what is it?
8647.
8647. So you drive 8 miles out of town and you bury them 6 feet deep. That's what that means. Okay. And 47 is Donald Trump. As though he couldn't figure that out. You know, give me a break.
It's an open dog whistle to kill Trump.
And yes, that's what it was. And we know it because he published it. Because why would you publish somebody's street address? Oh, this looks interesting. It's somebody's street address. Why would you put that out there? So we know he's full of it, and we know
it's an insult to our intelligence. He didn't know what it meant.
I get that. But why aren't we charging him for the insurrection that he's guilty of? Why
no,
aren't we-
I'm no lawyer like you, but I said when it happened, I said this is going to fail because there's no proof of what his intent was when we have all this other stuff he did.
That's what I'm getting at. So he gives him this weak charge. I think that if this was probably there, and it might have been Bondi's decision not to charge the guy, but that could have been a right decision. I don't know. But now that he's done it, I hope he wins it. Like, please.
Well, I would say if you're the attorney general, the number one thing is the deep state coup against the country is to remove and prosecute the criminals in the deep state because nothing else matters and to stop election fraud and to kick the Chinese out of our voting machine. So give us your top 10 things or five things as attorney, because I'll get behind this 100%. My God, Trump knows you. He knows you're loyal. He knows you're a great guy. You got great energy. Boom. You got my vote for attorney general.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've laid it out, a whole plan. And in that.
Tell us where we find that. I'm going to play it tomorrow on the air. Tell us.
You know what? I'm not sure where it
you
is.
You just flood my producers with it, and they attack you for this, which is good. They attack Trump for coming on the show. It's a good thing. We're all for this, Peter. So continue.
Okay. Tina Peters needs to come out of prison. Okay. This woman's getting weaker all the time. This is terrible. I can't stand the fact that she's still in there. We have a president whose resolve is to get her out, and we've got now an attorney general whose resolve is to let it stay the way it is. He's not messing with it. Well, please, look, this is the way I believe the situation is, and I have good reason to understand it.
Blanche isn't stupid. He knows if we had real indictments, we'd win the midterms. That's what people want.
And he wants to see that. And he's giving Todd Blanche an opportunity to get those done. And there are some that are going to come down in terms of the election fraud and so on. Not that they're from. These things have been in the works for a while and they're coming. And it's not because of Blanche. It's in spite of Blanche. But we're getting them. OK,
sure. So he'll just halfway get out of the way and then play the hero.
Right. Another thing I would never do, I would never take somebody like Jeanine Pirro. She's a wonderful person. I trust her. Somebody like Cash Patel, you're not going to take them and use them as stooges to stand behind me while I show the American people how mean I could be with an ugly beef face. The way he's presenting things is absurd. His presentations they're underwhelming, and they're really foolish. Let's see him do some things that, in fact, the people can get behind him on. free Tina Peters. Now, how do you free Tina Peters? First of all, you're talking about the people in the deep state, but they're also in the states and not just in the federal government. Jenna Griswold is a perfect example. She's admitted that she's gone to 62 counties and erased or had her people intentionally install what she called the trusted bill that she knew would not only erase but rewrite on top of the hard drives of the Dominion machines to completely destroy all of the data that was in the 2020 election. And she's
for folks that don't know, you have the head Democrat in Colorado erasing things, releasing all the codes, and then then putting Peters in jail for what she did.
Well, no, Peters is in jail because she's a scapegoat for it, but not because of what she did. People think that, but really it was for not identifying.
No. I meant what the lady prosecuting her did, or the lady, you know, over elections.
Yeah. She was the Secretary of State. She had her rules that nobody could be in there, but it had nothing to do with elections. It had to do with COVID. And you know, it was another false law that wasn't really a law. But the fact of the matter is, she violated federal law when she went from county to county, 62 counties, and wiped out all the data. You have to keep it for 22 months or you're guilty of a federal crime that could put you in prison for up to a year for each one of these counties.
So what is that, obstruction, destruction of records? What is it?
It's a destruction of data from the election, and there's a special statute for it. That basically you have to keep it there for 22 months. She deleted it. She destroyed it. Not only wiped the disk clean, but you can still get it after you wipe it, but she installed new data on top of it so it could never be seen
again.
So she
ran around like a chicken with her head cut off. We know this is all on record. Erasing it and overriding it, which is key. So I go back to this then.
And Tina Peters is...